You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of thy people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calleth us each by name and follow where he doth lead, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth one God forever and ever. Amen. The fourth Sunday of Easter has come to be known in our tradition as Good Shepherd Sunday because the opening collect that I just prayed again and the appointed scripture lessons all focus on this particular imagery. And that is actually extremely significant because of all the images and metaphors that we find in the Bible to describe Christ and our relationship to him. This is one of the few that is given an annual emphasis. The imagery is actually, of course, first used in the Old Testament with the psalmist saying, "I have strayed like a lost sheep," and Isaiah saying, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way," inspiring the morning prayer, confession, "Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts." And because the date of Easter moves around according to the moon schedule and spring equinox, and because Mother's Day is fixed as the second Sunday of May, the two often don't coincide, talking about the fourth Sunday of Easter and Mother's Day. And I was mindful of that this week as I was preparing the sermon because it has occurred to me that there is a meaningful connection here between the parental role, Mother's Day, and the role of a shepherd and the lessons appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter. So that's what this sermon is about. And to jump right into it, consider first, if you would, the parental role. The two most basic and fundamental characteristics of parenting are what? Provision and protection, right? I mean, certainly there's more to it than that. But at a foundational level, those are the core responsibilities, provision and protection. But as any parent would say, those are ultimately just a means toward a greater end. I mean, people don't have children just to have something else to provide for and protect, do they? No, people have children to love, to cherish, and to influence. As we say in our marriage liturgy, one of the intentions of the union between husband and wife is the, quote, procreation of children and their nurture in the knowledge and love of the Lord. And when your children become adults, you begin to realize that what your parents always said is true. That is, that you can only hope that through all those years of providing for and protecting, that a trusting relationship was formed such that you are then able to influence your child's moral compass. Meaning, the grateful response of a child toward a parent who has faithfully provided for and protected is a sincere desire to please and to make proud. Now, there are often those difficult years when the child is establishing autonomy. Sometimes that plays out with rebellious acting out and such, but ultimately, at least the desire is always that our adult children will circle back and ask for the advice of mom and dad, who suddenly aren't quite as stupid as they once were. So that may be a nice Mother's Day sentiment and reflection and all, but what does it have to do with the gospel and Good Shepherd Sunday? Well, like parents, shepherds must provide for their sheep and protect them, but also like parents, shepherds ultimately seek to influence the behavior of their sheep. In fact, in order to provide for and protect their sheep, shepherds must be able to influence their sheep if they are going to be able to guide them toward springs of fresh water and away from dangerous animals. So how do parents influence their children? Well, again, the grateful response of a child toward a parent who has faithfully provided for and protected is a sincere desire to please and make that parent proud, which translates to the child asking the question when making a moral decision, what would mother do? Or what would father do? Back when I was a youth minister, it became popular, particularly among youth ministry circles, to wear the WWJD, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Anyone remember those? And it's a good question to bear in mind when faced with a moral dilemma, when you don't know what to do, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? In fact, when I was in seminary, this is at Sewanee, I got pulled into this debate between two college students who were trying to resolve an ethical question. A little background here, the dean of Sewanee at the time was a big tennis player, and so for my work study that all seminarians had to have, he set me up to be an assistant for the undergraduate tennis teams, which, somewhat of an ulterior motive that he had, made it easy for him to come out and hit tennis balls with me on Friday afternoons. Fellow classmates who were shelving books in the library for their work study were, of course, rightly pretty perturbed by this. Anyway, these two guys were right in the middle of a doubles tennis match, and one thought that they should share their water with the opposing team. The other thought that that was the other team's responsibility. And it really wasn't all that big of a deal because you can't have your teammates bring you more water. But it was nevertheless somewhat revealing because of the differences that emerged between these two teammates. And I guess by way of trying to make his point after the match, the one who wanted to share the water with the opposing team got me involved by asking somewhat self-righteously, hey, Tom, you're in seminary. What do you think? What would Jesus do, right? And I thought about that for a second or two, and then in a moment, I think of real clarity, replied, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think Jesus ever played tennis. Now, was I dodging the question, trying to be funny? Of course. But it did make a point that sometimes it's not as easy as asking what would Jesus do, because sometimes that question leads to a dead end. Now, I don't think it's a bad question or the wrong question at all. I just don't think that it's the question. Because in the first place, Christianity isn't just about ethics and our relationship with one another. It's primarily about theology and our relationship with God. In fact, it's about theology first and ethics second, because Christian ethics can only stem from Christian theology. Therefore, the question we need to first contemplate, the question of Christianity, which is entirely theological, is what did Jesus do? Because if we really contemplate what Jesus did, then we'll quite naturally become transformed in what we do. And this is also, I think, how it is with parenting, which is why the parental example is so important, because closely related to the question, what would mother or father do, is the question, what did mother or father do? In other words, if a young parent is weighing out the value and importance of taking their child to Sunday school, the question, what would mom or dad do, is often answered with the question, what did mom or dad do? I once led a vestry retreat using this chapter from John's Gospel, and this shepherding imagery as our theme for the weekend. And as I shared with that vestry, sometimes the trap that faithful followers of Christ, maybe even especially leaders in the church, fall into is seeing themselves as shepherds and others as sheep. Now, certainly there is truth in the understanding that we are entrusted by God to help shepherd others toward the kingdom. In fact, the very symbol of the bishop's office is a crozier, or shepherd's crook, which is used to secure the neck of the sheep who are wandering away from the fold. But as I explained to that vestry, the best way for us to help shepherd others is for us to first become faithful sheep ourselves, sheep who know the voice of our good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for us, the one who said, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Simply put, you can't help shepherd others toward Christ if you aren't first one of his sheep. Consider what you're told to do if the airplane you're on is about to go down. Not a very pleasant thought, I know, but what does the flight attendant say? We've all heard it. In the event of cabin depressurization, place the oxygen mask on your face first and then on the child sitting next to you. Counterintuitive. Because if you don't have oxygen, you're no help to anyone else. In the same way, if you don't know the voice of the Good Shepherd, you can't possibly lead any other sheep to him. The challenge, I think, is knowing the Good Shepherd involves time, doesn't it? Because it's a relationship. And we just don't have all that much time to spare these days, do we? Our lives are so fast-paced that we want an email, if not text, response, drive-through service, and we pick up and deliver dry cleaning. And because of this, because of how fast-paced things are for most of us these days, we often reduce Christianity and Christian parenting to a set of ethical instructions. Just give me a list of rules to follow because I don't actually have time to contemplate it for myself. What would Jesus do? But Christianity isn't a list of rules to be followed. It's a relationship. And building relationships takes communication. And communication takes time. You see, what would Jesus do is a great question. But if it becomes the question, then Christianity is reduced to a set of ethical instructions. The question I want my children to know the answer to in their heart of hearts is, what did Jesus do? Because when people, young and older, know in their hearts that Jesus Christ died to atone for their sins and then rose victorious over sin and death and then ascended to the Father, where he now intercedes on our behalf, when people really get to know the one who offered his life that we might then truly live, they'll already be well on their way to answering any ethical or moral question that they might have, because they'll be able to recognize the voice of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.